Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to Chemist Corner for Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. Hello and welcome to Chemist Corner, the show about formulating cosmetics brought to you by cosmetic chemists. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski. Today we have an interview with Dr. Satish Naik, who is the Director of R&D at Kemin Personal Care. Kemin has some very interesting technology in the area of natural extracts and antioxidants. If you're curious about functional natural ingredients, this interview will be right up your alley. But before we get to the interview, we will go over some cosmetic science stories that might affect formulators and a cosmetics science segment about the different levels of natural formulation. Here's an interesting story about a natural enzyme that may be causing some strong allergic skin reactions when it is included in cosmetics. Papain is an enzyme ingredient used in industrial production because it is great at degrading proteins. But when it comes to in contact with human skin, it can cause a strong allergic reaction. According to researchers, the way that this reaction happens is that the papain induces a breakdown of the cellular connection within the skin. This causes a loss of the barrier function and inflammatory cells infiltrate the skin. After about 2 weeks of being exposed to papain, researchers found relevant antibodies in work done on mice. They also developed an allergic reaction to papain. Anyway, you may be tempted to include the ingredient in a formula as a natural exfoliant, but it isn't advisable. Your consumers just may have a reaction that you didn't intend. Now remember, natural does not always mean safe. There isn't a lot of innovation going on in the cosmetic industry, at least in terms of technology. The reality is that the products out there work pretty well, and it's hard to make them better. Until someone figures out a radically different way to address problems people use cosmetics to solve, formulations will only get incrementally better. That's why I like to see products like the ones outlined in this story about color-changing products. This may be a little gimmicky, but color-changing products provide a novel angle on products that can otherwise be dull. Here are 6 different products that change color when they are applied. Perhaps you could think of a way to make your formulation stand out by adopting a similar strategy. Alright, let's look at the products. There's the Smashbox product that called O-Glow. You put the product on your skin and it changes to a red color that is supposed to match the color of your skin. They say it works because of the chemistry of your skin, but it is really just a pH color change. The user's skin doesn't really have much to do with it, but it is a clever product. Another color-changing product is a lip balm from Sephora. This one claims to work with your body's natural pH level to change color from light pink to bright fuchsia. I'm not really sure how it works, but I know some of the FD&C colors will change shade depending on pH. This product uses red 27 and red 22, so those probably are pH affected. Next is a CC cream from Tony Moly. It starts out as a white color, then supposedly changes to the color of your complexion, as if it can detect what color your skin is. I suspect that it's just a standard shade that looks good on everyone's skin. There is no ingredient list, so I can't say exactly how the technology works, so I wonder. Another color-changing product is the La Rose Magic Lip Gloss from Givenchy. This product goes on clear and is supposed to make your lip color brighter. It has red 21 in it, so the color must be affected by either a pH change or exposure to the air. Finally, there is the Custom Color Blush from Stila. They claim that it adjusts to the color based on the pH level of your body. I suspect it's just using the same color changing technology as the color-changing lip balm, however. Now, while these products are more hype than effective, the color-changing effect is a novel aspect of the product, and it would qualify as truly innovative technology. I'm just not sure if it's a worthwhile innovation, but we'll see how these products do. Finally, here's a story about a technology that I have been following since it was first written about in the 1990s. It's not a cosmetic related, but it is really intriguing. The technology is animal-free meat, and the latest development is that the price of one of these lab-grown burgers has dropped from $325,000 for the first one produced back in 2013 to $11.36 for the one that was most recently produced. That's a pretty good cost-cutting measure in just 2 years. The idea behind the animal-free meat technology is that you take a few cattle stem cells and then grow them up in a petri dish. They are able to keep growing and then make the cells differentiate into muscle cells and then keep them going. Those cells merge into muscle fibers, and then you end up with something that looks like a short pink rice noodle. And they say that it passes a taste test too, so that's very interesting. Imagine a world someday where we don't raise cows, but instead we create all our meat in laboratories. It could have a huge positive impact on our environment. I'm really excited to see this technology developed. I know it's not cosmetics, but I wonder, is there something similar we can use this technology for in our field? Perhaps plant-free extracts from endangered plants. That could be very interesting. A few weeks ago, I was at the Twin Cities Holistic Cosmetics Show, and I noticed a lot of different types of cosmetic raw materials targeted towards the natural cosmetic formulating market. And it occurred to me that not everyone means the same thing when they talk about the idea of natural formulating. Now, in our natural cosmetic formulating course, we spent a good amount of the first module talking about what is considered natural, and it really comes down to four levels of natural cosmetic formulating that we come up with. And each level has a different meaning as it pertains to natural formulating. The three main levels include greenwashing, formulating to a natural standard, and then formulating from nature. Let's look at level four. This is greenwashing cosmetics. Of all of these options, the one that is the most prevalent in the cosmetic industry is formulating a greenwashing strategy. Now, greenwashing is the method in which you take a standard cosmetic formula, use standard ingredients, and then you dress it up in a green and natural outfit. You give it a natural name, maybe even put the word natural in the title. Then you make it look and smell natural. You add some natural extracts, you write about those prominently on your packaging and advertising, and finally, you put it in a package that evokes the idea of naturalness. Now, this type of formulating has been going on for years, but it continues to be successfully used in the market. I mean, from a manufacturer standpoint, the benefits of greenwashing are many. The formulas are less expensive, they work better, they're easier to make, and consumers purchase them. A common greenwashing brand, for example, is Aveeno, their tagline is Active Naturals. Now, the products are great. Aveeno products are excellent products, of course. But the marketing seems a little disingenuous when you discover that their products are loaded with standard skincare technologies. They advertise their soy, their seaweed, their shiitake, but you know, in the formula, they have petrolatum, mineral oil, and dimethicone, and these are the ingredients that make the products really work. Now, right now, Aveeno is one of the largest natural brands with over $100 million a year in sales. So you can see formulating a greenwashing strategy in the natural realm can be effective. On a level 3 and level 2 that we consider in our formulation course, these would be formulating to a natural standard. While there's nothing wrong with greenwashing, some consumers and groups find it a little unsettling. And for this reason, a number of organizations have put together their own standards of what they consider to be natural. This includes groups like the National Sanitation Foundation, the National Products Association, EcoCert, Cosmos, and a bunch more. Now, I bet there are over 100 organizations around the world who have compiled some type of natural standards for creating cosmetic products or other products. The basic notion of this type of formulating is that the standard creating group goes through cosmetic ingredient data and decides which ingredients are natural and which ones aren't. Essentially, they take the 15,000 plus ingredients used in the INCI dictionary that are available for cosmetic formulators, and they reduce it to a couple thousand ingredients. You can think of it as taking a box of like 64 crayons and then reducing it to, say, 20, and then asking you to make the best picture you possibly can. Sure, you can still make a nice picture, but will it be as nice as the one you could have made with the 64 crayons? Who knows? Anyway, a number of brands follow this natural formulation strategy to varying levels of success. If you want to sell products in Whole Foods, you have to follow their Whole Foods acceptable ingredient list, or their banned list, actually. And there are natural brands like Burt's Bees or Say Yes to Carrots, and they have their own standards that they follow. Are these products really more natural than the greenwash products? I don't know. Nature really hasn't created any suitable natural cleansing surfactants, and you know, there isn't a shampoo tree, so on some level there is processing going on for any cosmetic formulation. But however, you know, a case could be made that these products are better for the environment and more sustainable than the ones made from petroleum products. And they are also less susceptible to the claims of greenwashing, which can have negative impact on your sales. So we have, in our formulation course, we talk about level 3, which is just, you know, standard natural standards. Then there's level 2, which is the USDA natural standards, the organic standards, which is a bit more complicated to formulate too, because you have, it's much more restrictive. Then there is the level 1 formulation natural strategy, and in the time before synthetic chemistry, people still managed to make cosmetic creams and lotions. In fact, an ancient Roman cosmetic tin was recently found. It contains a 2,000-year-old cream. This product was made up of animal fat, starch, and tin oxide from a mineral called cassiterite. Anyway, the type of formula would be considered a level 1 natural formula. There was no synthetic chemistry going on there. You take only ingredients that you find in nature and you turn them into a cosmetic without any fancy processing or chemistry. As you can imagine, this severely limits the number and types of cosmetics you could actually make. There really aren't any natural cleansing surfactants, so you know, shampoos and body washes are out, although sometimes people consider saponification or creating soaps as natural, and so you could make washes with soap, even though it technically is synthetic. It doesn't come right from nature. The other thing is, it's incredibly difficult to preserve your product without a synthetic preservative, so most water-based formulas are out. That leaves you with creams and lotions like the ancient Roman formula, which is a beeswax-based makeup products, and you know, other technologies that were once used by society, but were replaced by superior performing synthetic ingredients. Still, this level 1 formulation strategy is a viable way to make certain types of cosmetic formulas. It's just that you will have a very difficult time creating a successful product line using this level 1 natural formulation strategy. And there aren't any big brands on the market who have been able to do it yet. So what's the best way to formulate naturally? I don't really know. That's really up to you and your company and your philosophy. Ultimately, if you want to have a successful cosmetic product line, you are going to have to find a group of consumers who want to buy your products. If you can find enough people who like your story and your products, you could be successful with any of these formulation strategies. In some ways, greenwashing is the easiest, but level 2, level 3, and level 1 formulation strategies will also appeal to a certain type of consumer. There will also be less competition to these higher levels of formulations. But remember, if no one is buying your product or they don't like the way it works after they've tried it, you probably don't have a product that's going to be worth making.
Satish Nayak is the Director of Research and Development for Kemin Personal Care. He joined Kemin in 2008 as a scientist for Kemin Industries Discovery Research Group, where he was the project manager for chemistry and biochemistry projects. Currently, he's in his positions. Satish is responsible for innovation, quality control, and customer laboratory support for personal care ingredients. Welcome to the program, Satish.
Hi, thank you for having me on the program.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. I had heard about your technology when we had I met with your company earlier this year, and you guys had some interesting technology in the realm of natural products, and so I wanted to talk to you about that kind of technology and how your technology is different than some of the other suppliers who play in the same area. But before we get into that, I always like to give the audience an idea of how people got started in the cosmetic industry. So tell us a little bit about your background and how did you end up in the cosmetic industry?
Absolutely. I'm originally from India. I was born and brought up in Mumbai, India. I have a master's in analytical chemistry from University of Mumbai. After getting the master's, I was in two minds, you know, whether I should just go into industry or whether I should, you know, keep on, go for a PhD program. Then started looking into PhD programs in the U.S. And then after that, I joined Georgia Institute of Technology, where I got my PhD in polymer chemistry. After finishing the PhD in polymer chemistry, I moved to the University of Chicago for about, and I was there for about two and a half years for my postdoctoral studies. After that, I joined Kemin. So I joined Kemin about 7 years back. Initially, I joined Kemin in the discovery research, which is the corporate R&D research team. That gave me a good understanding of different markets where the ingredients of Kemin were going into, mostly foods, dietary supplements, also pet foods, things like that. And about 3 years back, or 3 years into my job at Kemin, we started looking into new opportunities. So the current president of Kemin, and who's now the president of Kemin Personal Care, approached me and said, you know, if we can have some ingredients, we can start developing some ingredients for the personal care market. So personal care market was very new for Kemin. Kemin had never involved in that before that. So we started looking into our current portfolio of what we have. And looking at the ingredients, especially the natural ingredients that we have, we started saying, you know, these are some of the ingredients we can directly translate into personal care. We started working on that, changed a few formulations here and there, and then we launched some of these products in 2011. So that's when we started the personal care division.
Well, it's very interesting, and the technology you have is a little bit different than we usually see in the cosmetic industry. Why don't you explain the process? We'll start with your rosemary products, but why don't you explain the process by which you get your rosemary antioxidant, and what makes it different than others that people can get out there?
Absolutely. To really understand, you know, the whole rosemary process and how we get a product, Rosamox, which is the trade name for the product in personal care industry for our product. We'll have to go back all the way to the plant, actually. So Kemin has this division which is called a specialty crops improvement division, where we try to understand. Where we are not focused that much on extracts, but we are trying to understand what molecules in the extract are really working. So Kemin got into actually rosemary program almost 10, 15 years back, where we started developing rosemary plants or started looking into rosemary plants for antioxidant properties, because rosemary has history, especially in the Mediterranean region, having good antioxidant property, all the health benefits and things like that. Over the past, I will not go into all the details, but over the past several years, we have developed certain clonal lines. Now, these lines are all naturally bred, and the way we go up developing is trying to understand, you know, what active is important in that plant, in that particular extract, and how can we maximize that active in the plant. So our specialty crops division has developed these special proprietary lines, actually, of rosemary, which are very, very high, almost 5 to 6 times higher in the active molecule than you would see in a wild population. This helps us in two ways. By having a consistent rosemary plant, a plant that makes a consistent amount of active that helps us to make a consistent extraction process. Not too many variables change in there. And if once you have a consistent extraction process, you will make a consistent extract. Because that's what when we first went into the market, we saw customers complaining, saying, I believe in this natural. I would like to believe in this natural, but I'm not sure how often does it really work. Sometimes, this lot works, the other lot does not work. So we thought that for us being one advantage on our end would be consistency of this product, because we know exactly what active is working, so we can standardize the extract with that active.
Right, and that's one of the challenges that of other rosemary sources or natural antioxidant sources is that when they're coming from plants that are genetically varied, you're getting an inconsistent result. But you guys have a single plant throughout your whole farm field, huh?
Right. So Kemin is one of the world's largest rosemary grower. We have about 1,100 acres of rosemary fields in New Mexico and Texas. And each and every plant in that field is genetically identical, which is developed from our clonal lines, our proprietary clonal lines. So that's very important. We really think that is very important, because every time you go and talk to customers, natural products, I'm not sure it's going to work or not this
right.
time.
Right.
That's what we focused on.
Now some companies make a point of saying that they get free range rosemary. What do you think of that kind of thing?
It sounds very good, in a marketing brochure. But think of it this way: most of the rosemary in the world comes from hillsides of Spain, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco. What they do is they every once in 2 years they go there and they clip all the plants of the hillside, and then you cannot go back there for another 2 years. So what's going to happen? The soil is erosion. There is a lot of ecological imbalance that happens over there. It might seem it's very organic and sustainable, but it's affecting in different ways. We decided to have a very very focused approach, or have a very controlled approach, where our fields are irrigated. We are not dependent on Mother Nature on many things, but not especially in terms of water and things like that. We are not dependent on that. We irrigate our field, because if we lose our rosemary fields, our customers will lose their rosemary extract and they will not have their products. We are right now the only rosemary supplier in the world who's got certified by a global agency called SCS. So our rosemary is certified sustainable, and this particular agency looks for several improvements that you do in your growing cycle or in your fields, like usage of water, reduction of greenhouse gases, how much of biodiesel you use, things like that. So we are right now the only supplier who has gotten all 1,100 acres of our rosemary field certified as sustainable.
Well, that's excellent. Now, talking about your rosemary extract from a formulating standpoint, what type of formulators would you see this technology is best suited for?
One of the things, we are not the first people or the first company to bring rosemary extract in personal care. There were many little rosemary extracts in the market. One of the major issues with having a rosemary extract was, at least the complaints that we heard from some of the customers was, it is too dark in color, it smells of rosemary. Not every formulation would want to smell like rosemary. So we developed a proprietary process to actually reduce the color and odor, because we know what the active was, so we could remove the other extraneous material from the extract and then make it more formulation friendly in terms of organoleptic and aesthetic value. So we developed. So this is what really sets us apart in terms of lowered or low color rosemary extract. And now, since it has lowered or low color, it could be used in a variety of different formulations that are very sensitive to. They want the creams to be white, or their lotions to be white, or even their solutions, aqueous extracts that they used to be white or don't not have much color. This allows the formulator to have that. Previously, for different versions which do not have, which are not low or low color, you are limited by, you know, how much you can add in there, your inclusion rates, and things like that. So in terms of formulations, these are a variety of formulations can go in. It can go into, since it is standardized with the right amount of active, you know exactly how much to put in there. It not only protects the oil in the formula, but also has many, we've done many studies, many biological studies on our rosemary extract, where we've shown that it has benefits, such as active benefits, such as skin soothing, anti-glycation. So all in all, very multifunctional product.
Now, from a natural formulator standpoint, does this ingredient, is it certified by like the Whole Foods list or through EcoCert or the NOP or NSF or anything like that?
Yeah, so it has EcoCert approval and called EcoCert and Cosmos approval. And then we also have an organic version of rosemary where we have an organic field of rosemary growing with the same clonal line. And then we also have it available in organic form.
Oh, well, that's excellent. Well, this is fascinating technology. Do you have anything else over at Kemin which might be interested for people who are focused on natural formulating?
Yeah, that's the whole idea of at least the personal care business. You know, that's our business model to support this natural movement, to support this natural formulators who are looking for natural solutions. So we do have other ingredients. One of the ingredients, which is called Lysofix, is a natural emulsifier. But it not only just emulsifies their oils and water together, it also has many skin benefits because it has a very unique molecule in there, which is called a lysophospholipid that provides many skin benefits. It also delivers, it can, and the same product can also deliver actives, can improve the dispersion of pigments. So that's one product. Then we all have a natural preservative. As we know, natural preservative is a holy grail for all ingredient manufacturers. So we have developed a very respectable natural preservative using oregano extract. So oregano has the essential oil, which is very high in these monoterpene molecules. And we have harvested those monoterpene molecules, and there's a very concentrated extract that can be used as a natural preservative. And this product is called MicroCurb OC. In terms of actives, I mentioned Rosamox to you, and then another active that we have is called Floraglow, which is essentially a lutein molecule, and it's extracted from marigold flowers. And these marigold flowers are grown in India, and it provides, and then some of the advantages for this product are it improves skin hydration, moisturization. It's a carotenoid, so it also provides a lot of photoprotection. It's a very good antioxidant. And over the past year or so, people are also looking, customers are moving more towards or wanting a replacement for polyethylene beads. So we have developed some wax-based solutions or exfoliating agent, which are made up of natural waxes, and they can be used as a replacement for polyethylene beads. So these are some of the natural solutions. We have several in pipeline that are coming from a variety of different plants. And we're constantly on the lookout for new plants and new molecules, new classes of molecules to bring to this industry.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have some exciting stuff. I'm particularly interested in the natural preservative you have there, and then that natural emulsifier. That's a thing that the industry certainly needs more of. There really aren't a lot of good natural emulsifiers. So I look forward to see more people using that technology.
Excellent. Yeah, we do too.
All right, Satish. Well, that brings us to the end of our interview here. Were there any questions you thought I should ask that I hadn't asked already?
No, I think this covers for most of what we're doing at Kemin and different products that we have. No, this is good.
All right, Satish, I will put a link to your website and some of the technologies that you have written up on your website there in the show notes. And thank you again for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that brings us to the end of our show today. Thanks so much for our interviewee, and thanks to you for listening today.
I have a talk coming up. I'm going down to St. Louis to speak to the Paints and Coatings Society down there. I'm doing a talk on sunscreens, and that's going to happen on May 19th. I guess you can contact me for more details about that if you're interested. In June, I'll be going out to the Hair Care Symposium put on by Allured Publishing. That's going to be a two-day event, which will be excellent. Experts about hair care formulating around the country will be there. And, of course, the Society of Cosmetic Chemists is going to have meetings in December. We're having our annual meeting, which I will be there. And I'm doing a course on beginning cosmetic formulating for that event. As always, we have a very active cosmetic science forum, and I encourage you to go into the forum and participate in some of the discussion. There's a lot of great experts in there telling a lot of secrets about how to make cosmetic formulations easier. Also, if you don't, please follow us on Twitter. We're at Chemist Corner. And we also have a Facebook page where we republish some things that we put on the blog. But of course, following the blog and reading the stuff on the blog is always a great place to find more information about cosmetic formulating. Well, that's all I have. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.